welcome to a very special edition of The Good, The Scars and The Rugby. As always, in partnership with our friends at Allianz, we're at Six Ways Stadium in Worcester for the Allianz Prem 15s final 2022. The champions, Saracens 43-21, the woman who scored first and was player of the match, Marley Packer.
Hi guys, nice to be with you, my friends.
It's great to have you here. Emily Scarrett has just finished some massive media duties. I mean, she's just all over the place. Mo Hunt was all over commentary as well. We have the dream team together here. Was that a dream match, Marley?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, we came out, I think the first couple of minutes, I don't think we touched the ball, it was like defensively, but I think we imposed ourselves in what we were about today. And then coming out in that second half and getting the try like we did, Mackenzie crossing the line, was, yeah, unreal for us. And I just think we set the marker, we kept front football, we kept going forward, whether it was in a tackle D, and, you know, that's what we've talked about this week. And for me, like, the domestic league, we came top of the table. We lost against two teams. One was Harlequins, one was Exeter. And I think we proved the point that the way we played against Harlequins in the semi-final, but then to put the performance here at Six Ways, was really good. We talked about being at home and making this home, and I think we did that today.
Exeter obviously box kick a lot, and we saw you all game scuttling out the line, shirking your defensive responsibilities to get back there to catch that ball. Was that something you'd spoken about? They were like, right, Packer, this is the job for you, because I thought it was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, so when we previously played Exeter, that was Poppy Cleal's job, but today I was obviously playing eight, so yeah,
you, it
was
rank. You,
yeah,
pulled rank.
I pulled rank. That was my job. Like, I love to catch a high ball personally, but look, we talked about it. To be fair, we only practiced it yesterday in our team run. Otherwise I was a little bit all over the place, but when we're running against ourselves and trying to see what we've seen it in like on screens, but when you're trying to run it against each other, it's not, so the pitches aren't quite there, but today you could see what they're about to do, so it made my job a lot easier in just reading what's going on in front.
You guys really seem to click against Harlequins in the semi-finals, and then today, I mean, unquestionably the best team on the park. What happened? Because you were not their same team all season in terms of that level of cohesiveness.
Well, I think you've got to look at the season a little bit. At the start of the season, we had a few injuries early doors, and every club gets injuries, so it's about managing it and how we keep pushing forward with that. We obviously signed Adif Kauter. Like, she's been a great person to sign. She's definitely a sevens player. Like, does she know 15 scores? I'm not too sure. But you know, and you've just got to talk to them types of players. They're players that do all the dog work, as long as you keep talking to them. Like, they're work for you all day long, and she's a great person to have in the squad. But also we signed a new forwards coach, Chippy, and he's been great for us. Like, he brings so much off field, like, together. I can't explain it, but he really brings it to the squad. And I think the second half of the season, us going off to Six Nations, we lost a lot of players, like, playing all the different nations. So then coming back together, we had that first game against Exeter where they put, what, 50 points on us?
52.
So we talk about that. I think that's the biggest scoreline that Saracens have ever had against us. We've ever had against us personally. And I think players came off of that. May Campbell did an interview where she said she was embarrassed that day. But you've got to look at it. Like, Exeter had stayed together as a squad, competed in the Cup, which is fantastic for them. They won that. But actually, it was about us knowing that we need to get it right in the next few games. Next game we played against Wasp, tough first half, but we pulled it back together. Back against the wall, we're a very good team. And we were at Stonex, and it takes not many teams to beat us there. And then going on to the semi-final, that's when it clicked. It clicked in the team run just before we come out, and yeah, the performance was there.
You mentioned the Stonex. It felt at times today in the first half like we were all in Devon.
Yeah.
How loud was this crowd?
Yeah, also in Exeter, actually.
Well,
no, we had some fantastic support from Saracens. And they're diehard fans as well. They come and watch us when we play DMP away to Exeter away. Do you know what I mean? And that's some miles. To have fans like that is fantastic. But what, the crowd here was like 2,000 today?
It was so good. When I was driving in, there was like a Saracens pop-up tent thing all branded up. Whatsoever fezzes and stuff, yeah. On Exeter's bus had just rolled in with a load of supporters getting off. Like, that's what you want, isn't it? Like, obviously Worcester is not really close to either club,
no.
So to have those guys investing in wanting to come up here to down here, or whichever way they've travelled. It's awesome.
And I think that's the thing. The club is infested, investing. Like, look at how Stonex was. We had fireworks.
The club's infested. I don't know what to say. That's too many people.
No, probably not.
Forwards, you are absolutely smashing people.
Hey, but no, what I'm saying is, like, the way we put on the show at Stonex at the semi-final, but then today, us coming off the bus today, the fans, we had confetti being, like, everywhere.
That looked
awesome. Yeah, it was really special, and I think this is what's happening at Saracens now. Like, we are a part of the club. It's a very special place to be. Like, before, maybe, like, we weren't big on social media and things like that, but, like, we're really coming together, and, you know, it's about pushing on. And next year, this is our last game together as a group for a very long time, but next year we'll obviously have the World Cup, and then we probably won't see each other until nearly Christmas. So it's making sure that we stay together, we stay as one.
Where does this one rank? So obviously you've won three now. Where does this one rank in that?
Oh, I don't know. The first one was pretty special. Oh, that I'm being called to do Tikatonga, so 2 sets! Right, so basically this
chin
ranks,
it and run.
This ranks second. The first one, I got player of the match, and that was pretty special. And then I didn't play in the second one because I was injured. The third one we lost, so that's pretty... And then this one's pretty good, but we won. I got player of the match. I love it, but I couldn't do it without my team, and my team are now going mad at me because I got
to get in there.
Myself.
Get in there.
There we go. Marley Packer, player of the match. Yeah! And the crowd.
We'll pick up
wild.
A little.
I love
we'll
how much appreciation there is for that. That's proper.
She's a good girl.
Is she like that every time you win?
Every time we win, lose or draw, I think. Yeah.
Like constant Marley Packer.
Yeah.
Energy.
Oh, she's such a good girl, isn't it? Obviously, Mo and I have known her for a long, long time. Her nickname is Party Packer.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure
she'll
Packer
be. Packer in the pool.
There you go.
Packer in the pool. In the pool.
Should we talk about that again? Because that was just epic.
The video. I'm so glad people had the wherewithal to actually film that.
So good. But no, she's amazing. Like Skazzy was just saying, like, on and off the pitch, like, can't speak highly enough of her. I've been lucky enough to get to have her as a roommate for a long time as well, and she's just brilliant. She's gold.
Mo and I were chatting, obviously both of us doing comms for different people today. We were texting during the game, like, obviously player of the match. We wanted to try and make sure, you know, we were on the same page with that sort of stuff. And it's like, first name you say is Packer. And then you like try and scramble around. Not scramble around, but
who,
you try and find
else
others.
Made the list?
You try and find others because she's so prominent, isn't she? Always. And she is, and she deserves it.
And quite
who
often,
else made the list?
Quite often on that as well, like, it's easy to talk about the people that are always talked about. So, like, sometimes you kind of get into that hole, I feel like, as commentators, that you're always talking about the same people. So then it just becomes natural. Whereas with Packer, like, she just deserves it. Like, genuinely, she is standout every time she takes the field right now.
The one for me was when she made the turnover, Alev made a break, a couple of phases later, then she's... she scores under the post.
Oh,
like,
unreal.
She makes a difference. Yeah. She scores a try. It's
so emphatic.
But who else made the list? May Campbell was up there.
Yep.
Holly Aitchison. I thought Elev Kelter played well as well.
Yeah. She did go well. Hope Rogers second half. She went well.
Yeah.
I absolutely live for the fact that when they went in for half time, there was a clear shot, even on the TV coverage, but I could see her from where I was sitting, standing at the tunnel, waving everyone in, and then shouting at the backs who were still on the pitch, saying, "Get in!" in the most aggressive face. I literally turned to our producer, Shira, and went, "I would just get in now if I was them."
Run my fastest ever.
Yes.
But that's what she does. Like, for me, she just galvanizes any team she's in. Like, I always say it, and I think... like, that word sometimes can be overused, but she really does. Like, she just brings everyone together. She knows what to say. And when you've got somebody leading by example like that, like, how can you not follow what she does on the pitch? I just think she's absolutely brilliant. She trains the same as she plays. And luckily for us, she has a switch off. So when she's off the pitch, she's actually good as goal as well.
There was a lot of chat as well in that game, wasn't there? Yeah. Her and Poppy Leach, I think, were having some chat that we didn't quite pick up on the ref mic. So it would have been good to ask her about that. But, yeah, she always gives it 110%, whether that's playing rugby or... through the verbals.
I was thinking today watching her, it's like when form and experience come together, just like the perfect balance of the two. The other player who seemed to really make the most of her experience with that sniping try was Patricia Garcia, and there was a bit of emotion there when she came off. We have to give like a special mention to her.
Yeah, mega player. Mo and I have obviously played against her probably for all of those 14 years that she's been playing the game, if we're honest.
Don't start. How old
she's
are you?
Been amazing. Oh, there she be great is. To get a word with her. Oh, here she comes.
She's got the Spanish flag around the waist. That's and like the whole we, like, thing.
Like we teed that up. It. Do you know what I mean? Outstanding.
But amazing.
She has been sensational. So, so good to have her.
We're back again.
Welcome, my friend.
You're making me run.
Thank you so much for joining us. We were literally... Oh, look at her. She strategically positions
can't put that
the
over the
flag
sponsors.
Over.
Here we go.
Just
I got you.
Congratulations on an amazing career. I know you didn't get the result you came here for today, but tell us how you feel now.
Well, I just feel so, first of all, I feel so grateful. All the opportunities that we got, and then I think we must be proud as Exeter Chiefs, you know, arriving to the, in our second season only, you know, to this Allianz Premier 15's final. I think all the work that has been done, we must be proud of that, and all the credit to Saracens that they play very, very good rugby, not just today, but also in the whole league, so congratulations to them, they deserve the win.
I think it was only fitting that you scored a little tap and go, snipe, step, because yeah. You've been doing that to teams domestically and internationally, sevens and 15s, for years. So it was awesome to see you do that in the final game. Wow. Obviously, it didn't go your guys' way, but go on.
I can't believe the referee let you go.
All season, I mean, you know, they haven't learned. yeah, you know, I only have 10 meters, so yeah. I have to make the most of them.
No, that was awesome.
What was going through your mind when you left the pitch? We could see the emotion. Yeah. What were you thinking of?
Well, it has been a long process. I know since a long time that I was going to retire, so I was mentally prepared like for that. I have been working with my psychology with that, and I just wanted to, again, like leave the share in a better position and try to leave the club in a better position, and I tried to fight for that and just say, you know, thank you, you know, doing that, because something that I learned from Japan, which is something that you are just grateful for, what rugby bring to me, rugby gave to me, so I just wanted to say thank you in some way, so yeah.
It's beautiful.
I think we want to say thank you to you as well.
Thank you to you.
No.
100%. What's next?
Well, we'll see. I hope that I can have the opportunity to give back to rugby what it gives to me. So off the field, like I'm running with charity. I have projects that we can bring education and values through the sport to people that has disabilities or in social risk exclusion context. Also, maybe coaching, high level, who knows, you know, managing, we'll see. We'll see. I think there is a lot of opportunities down there. And first of everything, I'm going to rest, and then we'll see what's next.
Rest.
You deserve it.
Yes. Deserve it, rest.
I'll try.
Thank you so much for joining us, Patricia.
No, it's my pleasure.
We look
forward
to seeing what you bring to the sport in future. But you have been an amazing swimmer, and it's been such a joy to watch you play.
Thank you very much. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you.
Don't forget your flag. Although I'm sure you've probably got a few of those back home.
Adios,
indeed. Let's talk about Susie Appleby and her approach. They went so hard at the Allianz Cup. While other teams had players out playing international, they went, we are going to get ourselves some winning momentum by hook or crook. We're going to go into this final like on the trot. And it very nearly worked.
Yeah, look, I think you can't... question how they've done things in terms of the results that they've got and the success that they've got. Talking the second season in this league, it's unbelievable, really. I think Susie spoke in the week around, you know, she had a lot of criticism for all the international players that they've had, but what was her alternative? You know, she's, as a coach, under pressure to get results, and rightfully so. You know, we're in the Premiership, we're not in a donkey league anymore. So she's under pressure, so that's the only way that she was able to do it if you know, home union's players weren't able to come or didn't want to come to Exeter. So look, I think for them it was really important to get silverware first and foremost, which is why they went so hard after the cup, and you know, tore that tournament apart, really, that competition apart, and got their silverware. And then obviously for them to come here and compete in the final as well was fantastic for them. And I think the next steps for me for Exeter are really interesting ones. Can they retain the international players that they've been able to get this season? Obviously the World Cup's coming up, people's plans change and move and what they might want to do after that. But yeah, it's I think what they have done is showcased themselves here, haven't they? They've shown what a quality outfit they are, seemingly. The vibes that they have down there are very good. Surfer Coast, they're trying to sell that one hard, aren't they? Which, hey, I mean, it sounds nice, doesn't
yeah.
it? But
I think also on that, though, as players, you want to play. Like, if I'm Hope Rogers, if I'm Emily Totozzi, Delika Menin, like, internationals in my own right, and I'm sat at club while the Six Nations is going on and I don't have an opportunity to play, I want to be playing. Do you know what I mean? So I understand where people come from and their grievances with it, but at the same time, if that's me, I want to play.
Challenge yourself in the best place 100%. In the world at the moment. Yeah, why wouldn't you?
And this is Kate Zachary just stepping in with the biggest Chiefs flag.
Someone handed it to me. I don't know what to do with it anymore. I've almost hit like 8 people with it.
Wave it aggressively.
You hold it. Thank you. Makes me nervous. Should I put these on instead? Hold on.
You can definitely rock those. We were literally just talking about you guys making it look so cool to be based down there in Devon. The lifestyle of being in the South and playing in a team that's made... I mean, today, your match day 23 featured, what, 6 USA and 4 Canada players? I mean, so that's some North American muscle right there.
It is muscle as well.
I was going to say, I'm not as big as like Hope and some other people, but it's great to play with them for a while. I mean, we've been playing against them for so long. I think all we've done is play Canada for the last like 3 years. So it's kind of nice also to play with them this time.
So tell us about the experience of being there in what some people have described a bit of a barbarians team almost, with players from Japan and from Spain and a South African in the mix and, you know, tons of players from North America. You guys have... You know, in a very short amount of time, the Chiefs have managed to forge something out of such diversity.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a unique experience because you've got different accents, you've got different playing styles, you've got people who've come from all sorts of different styles coaching as well. So we bring that all together in kind of this melting pot. And you just bring in the joint experience of everybody moving. It wasn't like one person moved into a new group. It was 45 people. Even the English players had to relocate. So everyone's relocated, everyone's had this joint experience last year at a time of uncertainty into this whole new experience. And I think that's what you see on the field, that flair from the different playing styles, the different experiences. And that's what I think makes it kind of special. And it's how we've been able to bring that together this season, is I think what you see.
What's the vibe down there? Are you all just like 8 of you in a house, 8 of you in another house, 8 of you in another house, and then that's the squad all together, or are you split up?
You know, we start at the beginning of the day and you know, the end of the night, usually in our own homes, but not every night. I feel like there's, at our house constantly, we call it the embassy now. We've got a sign hanging up, but everyone else comes to our house, and I feel like some days, our poor neighbors, which thankfully they actually love it. A couple have been coming to games now, but they're always like, sounds like you guys had a good night. We're like, we're so sorry. Like Linda comes over and her voice, even on a normal day, is always way up here as well.
Outside voice only,
me. It's outside voice only, I feel for them. But it starts with 4. There's a time where maybe it's 10 or 15, but when I go to bed, there's usually only 4 people again.
You've been playing for a while. Like, what is the thing about Exeter Chief? What makes it so special down there? Because you can see how much you guys love it. You love each other. Like, what is it about the club?
Again, I think it goes back... For starters, last season, it was, you know, at first, a lot of us are chasing that World Cup dream, but no one was playing rugby. So we all moved here to try to pursue that, to be the best player we could be. So I think it started with that. But then as it developed and we all came back this year, it was about making a new statement. You know, we finished 6th last season, really close to that top area that we wanted. Coming back in this season, retaining players. And it was just now about making a statement and getting top 4 and then getting top 2 and showing, I think, the rest of the league that, you know, Exeter Chiefs are here. We want to represent Devon in that pride.
Yeah, you certainly did that.
Talk to me about, so recent reports say that the RFU would like to look at a way to maintain a high level of English representation in all of the Prem 15 sides. I'm not from England, so I love the fact that we've seen so many amazing international players participate in this league because it raises the standard of competitiveness. I just want to see really competitive matches. I want to be able to come to a final and go, well, you know, this could go any of 2 ways. You don't want one team to, you know, streak ahead and the rest to kind of lag. On international rugby level, England is so far ahead at this stage. We want in this league to maintain the highest level of competitiveness. What do you think is the best balancing point between that? Have you got a strong view on this?
Speak freely. First off, I mean, I totally respect why, you know, especially the RFU and various English players might want to keep that. Yeah. But I also understand there's people who want to see the growth and development and the competition, because it's about this stage and then it is about the international stage. Like, we compete in this league to then also go and be the best at the World Cup. And
yeah.
You're seeing England certainly develop from that. One, by having the contracted players, right? So one, they're contracted, they're stable, but now they've also got a really, really impressive league to take that into camp and take that into the Red Roses jersey. Now, again, rewinding it back to the league, it just helped amplify everyone. I expect fully that US will bring a completely different team than what you saw in November because we've had 20 players here. Wales, similarly, right? They're getting players on contracts now. They'll similarly, I think, bring a very much stronger team than they traditionally have because we're playing in here. And I think this league has become one of the top in the world. And I do think it's something that should stay. Yeah, maybe do you have to add some regulations around it, make sure it's spread about, etc. Sure, and that just raises the league level across from your DMPs all the way up to your citizens.
I think, speaking from an English perspective as well, like, we want to play against the best people. Like, we want the games to be competitive, to go and not know if you're going to win is like exactly what the league's been this season. So, like, from my perspective, from an English perspective, I can't speak for everyone, but I'm here for it. Like, if people want to come and play in the league and it's the best league in the world, which I genuinely think it is right now, let's crack on.
Yes. I also love the fact that people want to come to England to play in our league. Like, I think that's quite cool. It's quite a compliment, isn't
100%.
It? 100%. That people want to come here. Obviously.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
The shade.
Anyway, train of thought. Yeah.
Hook, line and sinker.
Anyway, we don't want them anymore. They can go.
But seven teams could have made it into the final four in this year's tournament. That competitiveness is real and it's here. And I do wonder if it's not a little soon to now start trying to ensure that you have, you know, England representation in all clubs, because I feel like it's just, we're just getting going, but it's going to be interesting to see where this goes next. You guys, the North American muscle, are basically all going to be at Heathrow tomorrow, is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we've all got to catch a flight. Some of us are at 7, some are at 9 between us and...
A.M.
PM, thankfully.
Okay.
Thankfully, no, PM.
Thank
goodness.
You.
Yeah, so us and Canada have to shoot off to New Zealand. We'll miss that first match, which is Canada versus USA. We'll all land on Monday, ideally, you know, recover from a few drinks, a 27-hour travel day.
Yeah. And an 11-hour time difference.
Yeah, yeah. 11-hour time difference, I think, lose 2 days. I'm trying not to pay too much attention.
Hour by hour.
Yeah, hour by hour. I'm just trying to get to the airport tomorrow. But, yeah, we'll jet off there, be there Monday, and then we play next weekend. For us, it's Australia. Canada has New Zealand, so it'll be great. Jeez.
Pacific Four Series. It's great to see an opportunity now for the momentum that at least the players who've been competing in this league to carry that into that, and then obviously the rest of this year is setting up to just between the Commonwealth Games, Rugby Sevens, I mean the World Cup, there's just so much to look forward to. What's your goal for the rest of the year?
Stay healthy, see my family. I mean, the big thing is going to Pac Four, and like I kind of touched on before, it's just showcasing a whole new team. And I think, again, you'll see Canada and USA representing, I think, you know, truthfully, the league well, hopefully. I hope everyone feels proud about what we also offer there as people coming over from the league and how the growth has helped our international team. Go to Pac Four, do a job ideally in Australia and New Zealand. Enjoy a nice couple weeks off before we're into camp in August. And then by the time we get to World Cup, just to showcase the best team that we have.
And then will we see you back in the league next year?
I'll be around somewhere.
She'll be around
somewhere.
Oh, sorry. I'll be around holding this mic over there. Yeah. Beer next time.
Well, it was an honor to be able to watch you play today. Thank you so much for the entertainment that you guys have provided this season. It's been really impressive to watch you guys. You've worked incredibly hard. I mean, you scored, what, more tries than Saracens, more points than Saracens. You came into this final, you know, you can really be proud of the work you've done.
Yeah, no, I was super proud of the girls. I mean, hats off to Saracens. They were the better team today, unfortunately. But I think what it does is it sets a standard. It teaches us a lesson. You'll come back next year even stronger. But super proud of the team. And as we said, feel the pain for 10 minutes. But after this, man, you just got to celebrate all the small victories we've had all season. So
I think as well for you personally, you've had an unbelievable season.
Unbelievable season.
Rightly shortlisted for player of the season. Everything that you've done. So, yeah, from us, wishing you very well in the Pac Four.
100%.
And sort of well for the World Cup.
And we're all proud. We are all proud to see you girls go out there. And like you say, it does represent the league. And like we're proud to be standing alongside you, but also to be representing you and cheering you on. So, go
on. You'll be wearing a US jersey next weekend?
Yeah, you see. Christine's the captain.
Charlie Jacoby would not. She's the only one. Yeah, she wouldn't let us not. I'll be flying the flag.
I forget that you guys got some of the best ones between Pony. I hope she hears that. And Charlie. So good. USA all the way.
USA.
You heard it here.
You guys can say it too. Don't worry. USA.
Brilliant.
Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Go with it. Brilliant. Kai Zachary. The score here, 43-21, 6-3. The second half did feel absolutely emphatically Saracens. And in celebration of that...
Yeah, how's that? Here we go.
Lottie Clapp.
Hello.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yes, congratulations. So good.
How do you feel?
Yeah, a little bit taken away at the moment. It's not quite settled in. But yeah, amazing. Couldn't have imagined a better final, a better performance from the whole of the team. We did not expect that scoreline to come out of it. I said to someone before the game, I thought it was going to be a three-point game right up until the end. But yeah, we came out here and smashed it.
I think from my point of view, that's the best I've seen you play. Like, the variation in your attack today was just unbelievable. Is that something you've been prepping for the last 2 weeks? Or did you just turn up and be like, we're just going to throw the ball around. We're going to chip and chase. We're going to see what happens.
Yeah, I think we got so much confidence from that Quinn semi-final to know that if we turn up and do what we know that we're capable of, we can turn teams over like that. And I think we know that Exeter had such a strong set in D. We needed to do things like that. We needed to do the chips here and there. We needed to put them on the back foot to get them start to questioning about their defence and having to change their structures. And because otherwise they are a pretty strong wall of defence. So we needed to do that sort of thing to get through, and it worked.
It was the little Gregans for me around the breakdown.
Loved it.
Elevive, I was having a whale of a
so
time.
Good
so
today.
Good.
So
it's, I think it's the homework that we did throughout the whole of the few weeks. It's things like that. We knew that Poppy Leach is going to go get Ella. We knew that that was a thing. So it's little things that, like you said, doing our homework and knowing that this where the space was and where we could go get them.
What surprised you about today? Was there anything that you came out here and you went, wow? I was a little surprised. I was really up close and personal with a lot of the fans in the stands. We did loads of kind of talking to people and filming things. We made Zoe Harrison interview people.
And there
were groups of older men who were all here just for the rugby. They weren't here because they brought their daughter. They were not here because their wife is a fan or it's someone's, you know, niece playing. Just groups of Saracens fans who have clearly just come on over, gotten into a car, decided Worcester is the place to be. I'm going to spend my Jubilee Friday.
Why not?
Just doing this.
It's so hard because when you have a final in a place like Worcester, you think it's a long way for people to travel, especially like you say on a Jubilee weekend, people have things planned and things to do. But to see the crowd there, it made all the difference. I couldn't believe how many Exeter fans were there. Oh. Like when I walked out and saw all the black flags, I thought, oh no, kind of trying to spot the Saris ones. But it was great that we did have those Saris supporters to kind of G us up and kind of for every Exeter cheer and. There was a Saris one which made all the difference.
It's beautiful. I loved it. And they were so loud. They literally, I felt like we were sitting on that side of the pitch and it came in waves. But the Saracens fans definitely got louder towards the end. When did you know that you had this?
I didn't.
Not come on.
Honestly. In at half time, like you go in with the confidence that we all ran in, and then you sit down for a second. You're like, we've got another 40 minutes to play, and you can't just say that that's it and that's the game done with 40 minutes to play still. And still with 10 minutes to go, I was still looking at the clock thinking,
There's a chance.
Yeah. Like looking at your stats from the other week when you say that we had the ball for 11 minutes in play or something, and we scored the 30 points that we did. I was like, it's still doable for them. So you just got to keep going the whole and until that 80 minutes whistle's gone.
Love that you looked at those stats.
I did. I looked at
She doesn't need that, Lottie. She doesn't need that.
You've been so captaining the side since what? You were 21?
I don't know. Yeah, a long. That's wild.
That's a long time. So at 21, you were just. I mean, this is a team of. There's some pretty big names in there and big personalities.
And mouths.
Yeah. Yes.
Some pretty big mouths. Yeah.
People with plenty of chat.
Name them.
We all know who we're talking about.
Yep.
And they're my friends, so I can say it. Thank you, Mo. Yeah.
So you've learned a thing or two about leading a bunch of really big personalities along the way.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as the years have gone on, I've got more confidence in the things that I do and how I can approach the referee. I remember the first few years I was like, no, I'm not going to go talk to him. Absolutely not. Whenever Poppy was coming and saying, they need to know this, they need to, I was like, yeah, okay, fine. And then just walk in the other way.
Yeah.
Whereas now I've kind of grown the confidence by watching rugby and I've just been learning the whole time. But definitely Marley coming in and having that co-captain I think has been huge this year. She has absolutely stepped up. And it's kind of we're two completely different players, and I think the team has really loved Marley coming in and having that leadership role this year, and she's been amazing. She doesn't just say the things off the pitch and is loud. Yeah. She performs absolutely 100% on the pitch, and that's what you need. You need leaders to look at and kind of take the reins and get that go forward, and then everybody goes on from there.
You're an interesting case as well in the broader rugby conversation. When the regulation changed, when World Rugby allowed people to start playing for the country of their birth.
Yeah.
You have England caps, and these days you play for the USA.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like one door closes, another opens, and that door wasn't completely closed, but it seemed pretty shut. Mm. And I just thought when the opportunity arose, I just thought, why not?
For those who don't know, tell us about how that works. You qualify to play for the USA by virtue of your mother, right?
Yep. So my mum is American, born in America, and my grandpa was in the Air Force, so got a pretty strong link. He'd be really proud of me doing this. My mum's really proud of me doing it, and it's just kind of another.
Oh, here's mum.
Yeah.
So is
give mum a
Josh. Oh, Deb, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here. And Josh, right?
Yes, indeed.
Your partner,
fiance.
Fiance. Ooh, congratulations. Yeah. Deb, tell me about how you feel about your daughter representing the US now.
Yeah, just so proud of her. Just so proud. You know, it's for Grandpa, really, and Uncle Bob. Uncle Bob Schultz, who both of them have passed, but I just get goosebumps when I think how proud they would be of you.
And then, Josh, you're not just wearing a Saracen shirt because you're a fan.
He's a super fan. Yeah.
You're the biggest
content.
Fan.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
You got a full pants.
I mean, I'll tell him.
Nothing we haven't seen before, but yes. So.
Apologies in advance.
So tell me about your role in the team, outside of just being the biggest fan there is.
No, very much just trying to help out as much as I possibly can. Play myself, so just anything that I can give back to the girls, to be honest. I do a lot of work with Zoe and the kickers especially, just to be able to give anything back. They're just like sponges, they just take every bit of information you give to them, so anything that I can do to be able to help out is just, that's where I take my excitement from.
Earlier when they were doing the trophy lift over in the middle of the pitch, all of the players on the injury list, all of the crutches were over here, the Saracens girls on crutches.
They needed to be closer, really.
Yeah. And he came over and he was like, come on, and they opened the gate and one of the security guards went, whoa, girls. And I said, no, they're actually, let them through. I mean, that's really thoughtful. You're obviously not just here for the glory.
No, exactly. I think the nice thing is where Saracens got it so right is the collective, the everyone together, and they talk about a togetherness and a family, and it is actually that. So the 23 girls that have played today is supported by the 40 girls that have played across the season through international, through injury. So they're part of that, and that makes it so special to see everyone involved when you get the glory of the trophy lift at the end.
Between the two of you, who's the biggest rugby nose? Who goes on and on and on about it at home?
Guilty as charged. Sorry.
Doesn't stop.
No. Well.
Every Friday night, want to watch a film? No, we're watching rugby. Yeah.
That'll be over soon. The season's nearly over.
Season's done. She'll be jet setting off to play international, and I'll be home on my own.
And how much do you get constant feedback, notes, advice, input?
Yeah, absolutely. He grilled me a little bit after the Exeter game a few weeks ago. But as much as I was getting really frustrated with every negative thing he was saying, I was taking it as much as I could. Aww. And then actually it did help in, what was it, in the Wasps game? It did help in that Quinns game, thinking about the things that he told me, how to get on the outside shoulder, how to check my feet. It did help.
It's chuffed a bit.
I try my best. Just because I've never been able to do it.
That's beautiful. I love that for you guys. I also am excited for the future because obviously there's going to be a lot of rugby in this household probably for forevermore. Yeah. But congratulations on your performance. You must be so proud.
Honestly, it's amazing to see from the ups and downs across the season that the girls have had and the lots had. It's just to crown the season with it. The win, but the performance as well is just incredible. It was a complete performance from 1 to 23 across, and it was just unbelievable to see. It was amazing.
Deb, what does the rest of your year look like?
quite busy. Yeah, no, we'll be going to New Zealand, hopefully, so that'll be quite nice.
Got to get there first.
singing the Star Spangled Banner, the whole thing.
No, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, fully in.
That's so amazing. Good. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with the rest of the year.
Amazing.
And congratulations. I hope you guys are all going to be celebrating tonight.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you for joining us, guys. Trust moms, always.
I love that so much.
Bring out.
I absolutely love rugby mums. There's something about rugby mums.
They're savage, that's what they are.
And they come up with like the best one-liners all the time.
Let's talk about the future quickly. Bath, London Irish and Leicester all seem to be ready to apply for a spot to add a team to this league. That's encouraging. We've had, what, three different clubs have had 1,000-plus fans on average in attendance.
Very cool.
It's another London club. Yes. Yeah. And you're local.
Yeah. Look, I think it's incredibly exciting that, I suppose, all Premiership men's clubs seemingly now want to be involved. I think that's awesome for the game. What actually happens with that, I think, is the bit we're all waiting to find out about. Obviously, the league and the structure 3.0 is next season, isn't it? Sort of, I can't think what year that is. 23, 24?
Yeah.
So what that looks like, I think, is exciting, but I think there's a lot to be figured out in terms of number of teams, for one. Do they keep it the same? Do they lessen it? Do they make it more? Obviously, are then some of those clubs you've just spoken about part of that? Do we lose clubs? Does geography come into it? Because obviously women's rugby, you know, we're not saturated with players throughout the land.
But so I think it has to.
Yeah. And I guess, excuse me, that can work both ways. Do you lose people? Do you gain people in certain places? Will Wasps move up to the Midlands like the men? Does that make a difference? I think there's so many questions that I don't know the answer to, but potentially are... They're good questions to have, basically, aren't they? We're not standing still. We're not stationary. We're not trying to just make what we have better.
And the women's game doesn't have to follow the recipe.
No, it doesn't. But in the same token, like, so Bath ladies, they have three teams that are competing regularly. So, like, in terms of player pools, like, obviously Bristol are down there. Three teams week in, week out. So, for me, it's, like, fielding that many front row week in, week out to fulfil your fixtures. Like, that's impressive to have that amount of girls playing the sport down there. Ladies, I should say. But, yeah, it's incredible.
Ladies!
Oh, stop
it! I hate that word.
I've ruined it.
Women!
We're having a serious chat then, Mo.
See you later.
So good. Look, but I think there's some also, like, people within the league currently. Gloucester have just announced the investment that they're putting into their women's side. Obviously, luckily, we've partnered with Saints. Hopefully, that will start to, and I'll give you a bit of air time. Hopefully, that will start to kind of come to fruition and actually see what that partnership means and looks like.
A lot of travelling, I've heard.
Yeah, a lot of travelling. That little M1 corridor is getting it at the moment.
If you could change one thing, or if there's one thing we learned from this year that we want more of, I love the fact that Exeter bust in like truckloads of fans to make sure that we have full stands here. I was very impressed by that level of investment, because Saracens were clear favourites coming into this, and Exeter just, they were not here for, you know, to be at least outnumbered in the stands. And that's one of my favourite things, is the number of people that we have seen come out to venues. Peaks for you over the season?
I think it's got to be that, like, the amount of hype around it, the amount of investment from, like, different clubs now, like, you see the difference, the media attention around it, what it's brought, and just having fans back, but fans that genuinely care. They come up to you, like, they genuinely want to be there, and they're making massive efforts. Like you said, supporters buses, I'm here for it, amazing.
Like, this lot is still here behind us, aren't we? And it's what?
An hour and a half
after kickoff?
They literally, no, this is the Emily's Garrett fan club.
They were shouting at for those.
Or whatever they're here for, they're still here, aren't they? So.
I love the fact that we had two full media crews here.
Yeah, exactly. Mo and I were chatting about that in the week. It's amazing that the coverage, things like that, are getting. I'd love that continuation, just clubs continuing to promote their women's sections to get fans to come and watch and do it differently. We don't have to do it like the men. It doesn't have to be stuffy. It can be, you know, the DJ was playing earlier. It can be a bit more relaxed, party vibes, whatever it is. It doesn't need to be,
you know, loafers and chinos, like Cask always goes on about with the men. So let's make it something different, because there's a market for it.
Yeah, and it is different. Like, we have so many young girls that want to come. They're here because they play rugby or they're aspiring to play rugby. And this family, like, it's more of a family event for me. Like, when you come and watch women's rugby, you look at the clientele. So, yeah, like, 100%, let's celebrate that.
Big.
And then let's get Loughborough-Gloucester final next year.
Are we putting the order in for that?
We're still Loughborough at the moment. Oh, right. Loughborough Lightning. In partnership with the Hudson Centre.
This should be on your to-do list, right?
Yeah, we're here for it.
Okay. Yeah. To-do list, final.
This time next year, we'll be in our kit because we've just played.
And then one of you would have won.
Pick one.
Orcs. And on that note, we would just like to ask the Emily Scarrett fan club.
See?
Okay. I say Emily, you say Scarrett. Emily?
Scarrett.
Emily?
Scarrett.
Louder. I say Emily, you say Scarrett.
Emily?
Scarrett.
Emily?
Scarrett.
There we go.
You're amazing. Come on.
Emily is about to burst into tears.
Oh my God, was that your favourite moment of this season? Can we ask her favourite moment of this season?
We have been the good, the Scars and the rugby. Thank you so much to every single one of the Emily Scarrett fan club members who are here. To Mo Hunt for being
to the number one
our
member.
Number one, the chairperson of the Emily Scarrett fan club. To our producer, Shira Kilgallen, and to Jenna Claridge, who always does the amazing research, and to you for joining us on this journey. Our season is not done because we have the Pack Four to look forward to and tons more rugby. But thank you so much to everyone who participated and made possible this Allianz Prem 15s season, because it has been absolutely brilliant. And that's it from us here in Worcester. Goodbye. Woo!